And so I heard a lot from Philippians, so I'm going to read a few verses from Philippians tonight, if that's all right. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 12. Philippians chapter 1. I'll speak to you a few minutes here tonight, just a little while from Philippians. And then I want us to take some time again right here around the altars, asking the Lord to touch us and to help us, to pour His Spirit out around the altars again tonight. Verse 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I'll stop reading right there. The whole book of Philippians, the main theme of the book of Philippians is joy, rejoicing, happiness, gratefulness. Brother Messer said it's a thank you card that he wrote back to the Philippians. And I think that's pretty interesting that it would be a book of joy and rejoicing when he's writing it from prison and writing it in chains. But yet somehow he is able to rejoice and to be full of joy and encouraging those Philippian Christians to rejoice in the Lord in the midst of any situation that you might be in. So Paul's writing from prison. If it wasn't for the prison experience, if it wasn't for what he went through, then at least five books of the New Testament, those prison epistles, we wouldn't have them, but they're the product of his prison experience, what he went through there. And so he said, you know, instead of this situation tearing me down, instead of it undermining or stopping my ministry, no doubt when he was arrested and then shipped to Rome, to prison, it may have been running through his mind, all the ministry opportunities that are being lost, all of the things that I was doing and all the people that I was affecting, and now it's all going to be stopped. But he says, no, I want you to understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, or they've turned around. It's turned around under the furtherance of the gospel, or the gospel is advancing even in spite of this bad situation. Amen. Now, isn't it wonderful when the devil's plan backfires? When the devil tries to destroy, when he tries to tear us down and tries to discourage us and let us get in situations that we feel like that it's a hopeless situation, and God has a way of turning it around for the glory of God. He said it's turned around, it's fallen out rather for the furtherance or the advancement of the gospel. Do you know that God can take your bad experiences, your troubling experiences, he can take the things that you think are negative in your life, and he has a way of turning them around and even furthering the gospel, advancing the gospel in spite of what we are going through. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad to be a child of God because God can take my troubles and turn them into a triumph, into a victory. And he can take your problems and do something wonderful and mighty in spite of what the devil is attempting to do. In the middle of all this, he's in chains, he's in prison, and he's telling them, rejoice, be filled with joy. Don't worry about me. It's not stopping the gospel. Instead, it's opened doors for me. It's furthering the gospel. It's given me opportunities that I would have never have had before. Amen. That's how God can work. Amen. Remember when Joseph's brothers, they found out that he was alive. They had sold him into slavery years before. But now there's a famine in the land, and they're looking for food, and they're down in Egypt, and they find out that he's alive. And now they're scared half to death because they think Joseph's alive, and he's no doubt going to pay us back for what we did to him. But the Bible says that when they came to him, that they asked if they could just be his servants. Well, just let us be your servants. As they wept and cried and fell at his feet. And he said, no, I'm not God. I'm not God. He's the one that's arranged all of this. Genesis 50 and 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Aren't you glad that when our plan is thwarted or stopped, God's plan goes right on. Amen. If you're a child of God, he just keeps going. The kingdom of God just keeps advancing. You may feel like you've had a setback or you're going through something that is hindering your calling or your ministry or your purpose. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Because God was working and he was planning all along. And even when Joseph was sold into slavery, God had a plan many years down the road that he was going to set it up. It was a setup by God so that he could save many people alive. Praise God. God has a way of taking your worst trial and turning it around for his glory and to advance the kingdom of God. Satan's plan is to destroy you, to stop you, to hinder you, but God takes all of that Satan attempts to do, he turns it into a blessing. He uses it to prepare you. He uses it to train you, to position you, put you where he wants you to be. That's what he did in the life of this apostle. Amen. Amen. It all seemed like that his ministry was coming to a close, but he said, no. Don't worry about that. It's almost with a joy and an excitement you can sense in the book of Philippians that he's saying, the devil thought he was going to destroy it, but God's using it, and he's turned everything around for me, and he's working in me and providing opportunities for me in ways that I could never. And then he talks about it, verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, in all other places. Yeah, he was in that cold, damp prison, chained to two praetorians, two soldiers. They were the elite guard who took care of, like our Secret Service, protected the kings and the emperors and took care of them. And now here is the Apostle Paul in this prison, and he's chained to them. And every watch, every 8 hours or so, they're being changed out, and a new set of soldiers are chained to him. And you can be sure that with every one of them that are chained to him, he's preaching to them. He's preaching the gospel to them. He's telling them, God sent me down here to Rome to preach to you in this prison, to share the gospel with you. So he says, so that in my bonds are manifest in all of the palace. They went all throughout the palace with their different assignments. They say that at one time there was over 4,000 of these guards who were moving about the palace and all taking care of all of the realm there of the leadership of of Rome. So they were moving about, and everywhere they went, no doubt some of them got saved. Some of them got saved because over in chapter 4, as he's closing out the book, the letter, he says, verse 22, "And all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." Praise God. Amen. And most important, he said, those in Caesar's household, they salute you too, because they were coming to the Lord. They were believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ and getting saved. And the Lord was using this situation. Glory to God. Be encouraged tonight. I don't know what you're up against or what you're dealing with here tonight, but your trouble, you're a child of God, and your trouble is not going to stop you. It is not going to keep you from advancing in the kingdom of God. It's not going to stop God's purpose for your life. It's going to advance it. God's going to use it. He can take that situation and position you. He says here, I am set for the defense of the gospel. He just is just saying, I have been positioned where God wants me to be to preach the gospel. I am set for the defense of the gospel. God put me here. He's positioned me here. And it seems like it's a trial and it's a hardship. And I'm going through a lot. But God is just opening doors so that in all of the palace, that's what he says, all over this palace, they are hearing the gospel. It's manifest in all the palace. In all other places, I don't know. I have to believe that everywhere those soldiers went and everywhere that they have influence, they were talking about this man. This man, Paul, who they were chained to a few nights ago, and he told them about a man named Jesus, and they put their trust and their faith in Jesus and were born again, and now they're out and about in the community, all over that city and all over that region. And so Paul says, not only in the palace, but in all other places. Praise God. He said, this has fallen out rather for the advancement of the gospel. This is really turned around for the advancing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Now, he had some other situations that he had to deal with, even beyond the fact that he was in a prison. There were those that were making his work harder. There were some of the brethren that says they were waxing bold. When they saw what was happening to Peter, it encouraged them. It encouraged them, and they got bolder. They thought, well, if Paul, did I say Peter? I'm sorry. If Paul can win all the people and have such an influence in this adverse situation, then we ought to be encouraged here to know that if God can use him there, then surely he can use us. We're out here. We've got our freedom. We've got our opportunities. And so he says, a lot of brethren, they've got confident because of my bonds. They've watched what was going on and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Amen. So not only does your trial and your trouble, not only does it open up the doors of ministry, but it encourages other people when they see you living in victory in spite of the things that you're going through. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Then verse 15 said, now some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. There were some that were jealous, some that were envious, and they didn't like it that he was having the success that he was having. Verse 16, and one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. They're trying to make it harder on me. They're trying to make this experience even more difficult for me by preaching the gospel with contention. But note, you know, sometimes it's not just your actions, it's your reactions that are really important. How you respond to things that are going on. You can let things beat you down and get you down and be so depressed and discouraged, or you can choose to look at the positive side, the good side of what's happening. And I believe that's what Paul did here. He said, well, what then? He said, at least if it's in pretense or in truth, Jesus is being preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I don't care what their motive is. I don't care why they're doing it. They may be doing it to try to do me more damage, but I'm just going to say, thank God Jesus is being preached, even if it's in contention, however that it's being preached, at least Jesus is being proclaimed. You know, you can take any situation and rejoice in it. Amen. There's a reason to rejoice in any situation because you're a child of God. You belong to the Lord. Amen. Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation or my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit. Every time that Brother Messer read that verse, wow, I heard that. The supply of the Spirit. The supply of the Spirit. Do you understand that? I know that there probably are a lot of us here tonight that at one time, maybe recently, and others a long time ago, you were filled with the Holy Ghost. You were baptized in the Spirit. And you can look back to that experience and say, wasn't that a wonderful experience? Thank God for it. But the will of God is not for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost in some past distant experience. It's the will of God that you have a supply or a flow of the Spirit in your life. Amen. That there would be a flow of the Spirit. Now, one of the ways that they would come against a city, they would attack a city by surrounding them and laying siege to the city. They would cut off all the supplies, all of the messages going in, any message of goodwill or hope, they would cut off all the flow of communication. And many times, they would either poison the water supply or they would completely reroute the water supply until finally, those that were inside the wall and being sieged by some army, they'd have to give up because they were starving to death and they had no water supply and they were losing hope. And that was a tactic of an enemy when he would lay siege against a particular city. But I think there's a good analogy here to the situation that the Apostle Paul is in. I mean, he's in a prison. He's in Rome. Rome is pagan. He's a long way away from his brethren. And the enemy was trying to stop him and hinder him. But you know that the Spirit of God was not hindered by that prison cell. The Spirit of God was not hindered by those chains or by the circumstance that he was in. But instead, he said, the supply of the Spirit is here. He's right here providing for me and supplying for me just what I need. Amen. You see, the Holy Ghost was given to us to be a flowing in our lives. It's not just a one-time experience, because you're going to have times like the Apostle Paul is having that you're going to need that flow of the Spirit, that supply of the Spirit. John chapter 7, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Jesus was telling them, one day soon, there is going to be a wonderful gift that's going to be given to you. This supply is going to be available to you, and walls can't stop it. Chains can't stop it. No matter where you are or what your trouble or that you're in, no matter where you are, there is a supply, a provision of God's power and God's Spirit that's available to you, and it was available to the Apostle Paul. That's the reason why that he could all through the book of Philippians tell them, we need to be rejoicing. We need to be happy about this. We need to rejoice in the goodness of the Lord and what he is doing. Joy filled his heart. That was the supply of the Spirit in his life. Amen. We're not reservoirs. We don't just get filled with the Holy Ghost and then it's over with. We're channels of the Spirit. The Spirit of God flows in us and then continually is flowing through us. You don't really need the supply of the Spirit unless there's a pouring out of the Spirit in your life. If the Lord's using you and you're being used of God and there's a pouring out of the Spirit, you need that continuous supply of the Spirit coming in to your life. Now, the city of Jerusalem is the city of God, and it had inside the walls water supply. Glory to God. And I can't get into all, but I encourage you to research it and read Brother A.N. Trotter's sermon on the Jerusalem waterworks. Wow. He talks about all those conduits and all those springs inside the city whenever they would lay siege to the city of Jerusalem. Tough luck trying to get them to give up, because there was something flowing inside. There was a flow coming inside of those walls to the city of Jerusalem. Amen. There is a river. Psalm 48, verse 46, verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Glory to God. Do you know, saints of God, it really doesn't matter where you are, what you're going through, what your trouble is, that God is able to take care of you in the middle of your trouble and give to you a wonderful flow, supply of the Spirit of God. Isaiah 41 and 18, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Raising up, flowing up in the midst of your situation. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. Amen. And he was talking about the Holy Ghost. He was talking about the supply of the Spirit that the apostle here was talking about here. And he was saying, yeah, I'm in prison. Yeah, I'm down here in Rome. I'm going through a lot. I'm in chains. People are, you know, they're not supporting me like they should. They're trying to make it harder on me. Even some of the gospel are making it harder on me. I've got a lot of things that I'm dealing with. But there's a supply that's coming right into this prison cell. There is a supply that's coming right into the midst of my trouble and my need and my burden that I'm going through. And he is supplying for me just what I am in need of. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And for you here tonight, oh, how you need this wonderful gift of the Spirit. The wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Because sure, the enemy's going to try to stop you. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to attack you. Every Christian has had the experiences of the enemy jumping on their back and trying to defeat them and to stop them from doing what God has called them to do. But Paul said, I'm happy. I'm full of joy. I'm excited. I know I shouldn't be, because I'm down here in prison going through all these. I know that I shouldn't be, but there's this supply of the Spirit that can get right down into this dark, damp prison that I'm in, and it's supplying for me what I need. So I've got joy. I've got joy, praise the Lord, in spite of all of these circumstances. Amen. We don't have any reason to be defeated. No reason to lose heart. Let's stand together. Praise God. Glory to God.